All right, I think I'm on. Yep. All right, where are we at? Here's my notes. Chicken scratches. I can't read it, so hopefully this will go well. Father, we just give you this day. We give you my words, Father. We want to speak what you want us to hear, Lord. That from your fountain, words of living life would come out. And we praise your holy name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to go over more of who Christ was, is, and will be. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form. And God then created light and darkness. And he said, it was good. Let's jump ahead. There was a burning bush. There's a burning bush that Moses went up to, and he was curious about it, and he found that it was God that had started the burning bush. And God told him to go back to his people and to free them from slavery from Egypt. And Moses said, well then, who should I say is sending me? What is your name? And God responded by saying, Yahweh. Yahweh, which means, I am that I am. I am who I am. It's an interesting word. We think of I am as declaring who oneself is. But in this case, Yahweh happens to also mean coming into being, arise, appearing, to exist in existence, abide, stand, lie, to be ever present. He said, I am Yahweh. I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. I am present. I am here. I am now. And I always am now. If you think about that, that's quite the statement. It defines himself. I am that I am. No one else defines it. God himself defines it. And that he is all. So as coming on up into the New Testament then, Stephanie was talking about how in chapter 5 of John, Jesus would say that I'm doing what my Father told me to do. Always talking about his Father. And it goes on into chapter 6 where he's still talking about, I don't see anything but except what my Father is doing. That I only do as the Father shows me. Well, who is your Father? If you see me, you have seen the Father. Well, our Father is Abraham. Abraham looked forward to my time. Abraham looked forward to what I was going to do. And they're still not getting it, the Pharisees he's talking to. And finally he goes, and they say, you cannot know what Abraham was. You're not even 50 years old. But he responds by saying, before Abraham, I am. And then what he uses there is exact same connotation, different language, instead of Hebrew. I am that I am. I am, is how he responded to him. He right there declared himself that I am God. I am the same God that spoke to Moses that was there before Abraham. I am. What's that mean for us? It's the same God. It is constant present. It is I. It is personal. God wants a personal relationship. It's not elevated. It is personal. And then I am the constant presence. He's present before time. He's present at the end of time. He's present now. And that means that he sees our circumstances to the full end of it as we sit here. There is no time. He is not constrained by this linear movement that we are at. He knows our destination as we sit here. He knows exactly what we are going to do. But yet we fret. We're stuck in our circumstances. We worry we screwed up. We worry that we got it wrong. But God already knew that happened. For him, it's present. It's happening now. Right now, he's dying on the cross for our sins, covering it. Right now, he sees himself coming in glory and knows the end. Right now, he knows the end of the circumstances. And what do we do with that knowledge? Well, a lot of times, you know, he knows the end of my life. He knows what's going to happen to me. He knows what's going to happen to Steph. He knows what's going to happen to everyone in this room. But yet, in our worldly hold on life, we look not of what God is doing, but what is Satan is doing, and we call out that which is not. We look at the negatives, and we complain. We complain that something is not going the way we want it to go. We complain that that person didn't respond the way I thought they should respond. Not what God is doing in their lives. Not where God is taking them. We are too worried about the past. We are too worried about the future. And we don't worry about what God is doing in our lives right now and in the lives of others. I am that I am. That should be comforting. I am that I am, that I know everything that's going to happen. I am that I am, that all your needs are taken care of. I am that I am, that you are with me here in glory. He knows the past, the present, and the future, because to him, it's all occurring right as we speak. That is really cool. That is really cool. Other times he had said this, that I am, was one, the woman at the well. Said, I gave you living water. And he declares to her that God is coming, that he's not going to be worshipped in Samaria on was it Mount Bethel or whatever it was, or in Jerusalem, but where you are now. And of him he says, I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, we'll get the whole story. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. He declared himself there to her that he was the Messiah. A little bit further up in that chapter, when he says, before Abraham was, I am, he started out by talking to the Pharisees that I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And in their connotation, the light of the world was the Messiah. He there was declaring himself as the Messiah. I am the light of the world. If we look at all those statements that he uses that term, I am, we look a little bit further ahead or behind, and he goes, I am the bread of life. He just fed 5,000 people. He met their physical needs, but yet right after that, his declaration of I am is, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not go hungry. I am the substance of spiritual life. He's practically declaring that I am the manna from heaven that God has provided. The manna met the physical needs. It came from heaven nightly, 6 days a week, the seventh that held through. Christ is the bread of life that came from heaven to meet our spiritual needs, to feed us in the spiritual manner in which God wants us to mature, in which he already sees us. Another place he uses it, it says, I am the gate of the sheepfold. I am the gate. I am the way in to God. It's the only way in. I am the one controlling the gate. Who gets in? Who gets out? The only door to life, the only one that is able to allow others to come in. That sounds sort of like in control of everything he is, but in the same section he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, the sheep know my voice. The good shepherd is the one that takes care of the sheep. He goes and finds the lost sheep. He takes care of the orphan sheep. His concern is that the sheep live and the sheep are taken care of. Not only does he allow them into the pasture, into the lock, but he is the one that takes care of them. He oversees everything. He declares, too, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That there is no other way. That he himself, the presence of God, is the only way to God. The only way to know God. And the only way to live with God. The way, the truth, and the life. One of the other ones he said, which he went and shown in the end, was when Lazarus was passed away, he came, he rose Lazarus from the dead. But one of the things he said at that point is, Mary was so worried that, or Martha, I can't remember which one it was, that yes, I know there is resurrection in the end. And Jesus looking at him saying, no, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the one that defeated death. Then came the morning that filled the promise. His very body began to breathe. Life came back into him. Death no longer has a sting. Death is no longer there. So those words that we speak to others that bring death, Christ has covered those and brought life. He brought the resurrection and he defeated the darkness. Saying, I am the light of the world also went back to the very beginning of time that says, I was there when God created everything. I was with God. And through me, all things were created. And for him, all things were created. That we may know him and celebrate him. The last one that he goes, one of the last ones he goes, is, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Christ died. We have life in him. And we are able then to feed off of Christ alone. He is the vine, we are the branches. The fruit comes from the branches. And what is the fruit used for? We've talked about this before. The fruit is for others to take a bite of, for others to eat. Fruit that eats itself is considered rotten. So if you have fruit in your life, then you're the only one that's using it. You're not sharing it. You're not developing it. You're not letting others to partake of it. That fruit is becoming rotten in your own life. Fruit is for others to feed upon. Then the other question we have is the fruit that we're producing something somebody wants to take a bite out of? Or is it something they'd rather turn away and walk and put their nose up in the air and go, that's not any good fruit because it's rotten. He is the true vine. We are the branches. We produce the fruit that others feed on. And again, others feed on that fruit by our words of life, our words that produce Christ in others. One of the last times, that's cool that he used it, pretty much the I am, was in the garden. The Roman soldiers had come to take him away. Judas had given him a kiss. And the soldiers came in and said, "We are looking for Jesus Christ. We are looking for Christ." I'm trying to get the exact words, and I don't see it here. "But we are looking for Christ." And he goes, "I am he. I am. I am." And at that moment, the Roman soldiers fell backwards, drew back, and fell down. Because what they didn't realize, they realized in the physical what was happening in the spiritual, that the God of heaven said, I am. And he also declared that his presence, nothing happens that he does not determine to happen. It says, I am. It is time. They couldn't do anything before. It is time to finish my job here on earth. It is my time to die on the cross, that it is finished, that he does become the resurrection and life in all of our lives. And that's what it's all about. I am that I am. My challenge for you this week is that you allow him to be that presence in your life. That you realize no matter what your circumstances are, he is present now, he's present in the future, and you just have to give it time for it to occur. That it is finished. What he's declared in your life, whether it's the word of God in Scripture or a word of God that he has given to you, that it is going to come into fruition down the road. We just need to wait for it. Abraham came into fruition. He did some sidesteps trying to do it himself, but he was not punished for those sidesteps. In the fact that just they had the consequences, it did not alter the faith that God said he was the most faithful, because he believed God and saw it to come to pass. He just tried to take things in his own hands. But he waited, and it was, I forget how many years. It wasn't overnight. It was like 40, 50 years from the promise to the fulfillment. It's 2,000 years from the promise, or 4,000 from the snake will bite the heel, but the snake's head will be crushed, from that to the cross. It's going to happen. God already declared it. It's going to occur. We have to be patient and wait and fulfill that in others' lives. And that's the biggest challenge this week. Go and let him be the I am of your life. Amen. Father, we just thank you and praise you. Father, we want to be resting in your presence. We want to know that you have finished in our soul of souls, that it is finished, it's done. The presence is there, and we just need to walk this path. And we want to speak those words of life to others. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.